Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In.
Cock! Camel Tottenham!
It's episode 42, season 12 of the Fighting Cock podcast. Today I'm joined by Felonious Filth. How you doing, mate?
Good.
Yeah. Do you feel violated?
On Saturday I did. I kind of wish we just recorded on Saturday, straight after the game, just do all the emotion. I've kind of calmed down and I've kind of flip-flopping between different extreme views. Always extreme views, never in the middle, always extreme. Either Conte must die or the fact I have to suffer forever. Give Conte a 10-year contract.
I don't want him to die. I just don't want him to be at the football club anymore. Bardi, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good, Flav. How are you?
I'm all right. It just feels like another sort of moment in transition that Spurs find themselves in. You know, it's just a never-ending rinse and repeat cycle of frustration. There are highs, there are lows, but fundamentally, over and over again, we find ourselves where we are right now. Now, I know it's better than being QPR. QPR are probably going to get relegated from the Championship. I get it. It's better than that. But everything is relative, and I'm actually furious with what was.
I'm furious with Italians.
We knew what Conte was, and we're going to talk about this. But we knew what Conte was. We understood that eventually, within 18 months, and it isn't no surprise that he was given an 18-month contract that. He'd end up fucking setting fire to the house that his kids are in. But I'm also angry at Daniel Levy, and I'm angry at the whole sort of situation. Like, it's so boring. It's so fucking boring to be in this situation once again. But we're going to talk about it. Bardi, welcome once again. I want to ask you this question from Zeus. It says, would you rather overdose on Viagra, slowly watching your penis expand bigger and bigger until it explodes, or have Conte as manager for the rest of the season?
I don't want to die, so I think I'll take Conte. I don't want my penis to explode. It's kind of useful, and I enjoy it. So I think getting rid of it.
How much do you enjoy your penis, buddy?
I really enjoy it. It's a good appendage. I think
it's best appendage.
I don't know. I think my legs. I think if I had to lose my penis or my legs, I'm keeping my legs.
I like the fact that you're referring to your penis as a limb.
A little one, but it's a useful appendage. I enjoy it. I don't want to see it explode. I've hurt it a few times in my life, as I've talked about many times, and I want to keep it. So I could do another few months of Conte. I don't think we should. I think we need to get rid of him. And I'd like to take this moment just to admit to everyone, I'm not even Italian. It's just an act I put on to make myself sound interesting and try and get Twitter numbers and make a career out of myself.
Fair enough.
Career for my podcast.
T, what did you make of his comments post Southampton?
This is such a loaded question because it's
loaded. Is
gonna,
it?
You're going to ask what I think of the comments. I thought it was it's kind of typical of him to kind of have a meltdown. Obviously, this one's unprecedented. What he said was correct, but I don't think what he's done over the last 12 months, maybe the last 6 months, entitled him to go at the club and everything like that when there were things that were in his control that he didn't do, i.e. the FA Cup and Champions League exit. So, yeah, I think it might have been what needed to be said, but I don't think he's that guy. And he lacked a bit of accountability. So on Saturday night, I wanted him dead. Now I'm kind of mellowed a bit. But I wanted him dead on Saturday.
Buddy, what did you make of his response to us conceding a 3-1 away result, but a 3-1 lead? To draw 3-0 against the team that was bottom of the league, did the performance on the pitch warrant his reaction? Do you think?
No, we weren't good. We kind of got into a 3-1 lead just by the sake of Kulusevski and Porro being good players and Perisic. I don't think there was anything in that performance that made me think, oh, okay, Spurs are playing well. I'd kind of accepted the point that we would just kind of stumble our way into 3 points week on week until we finished in the top four. But the moment that stops happening under Conte, that's the moment you got to get rid of him, because it's never going to be beautiful football. It's always going to be just efficient. And the moment it stops becoming efficient, you kind of need to get rid of him. I don't think the comments warranted. I don't think the performance was as bad as it was, but yeah, it's just not good, man. It's not good.
Well, I looked at the performance. I was in the ground and it was there was some sort of abject, sort of boring approach to the way we were playing, and which isn't a lot, you know. That's
hold up, you were there.
I was there.
You were there. Okay. All of a sudden, it makes sense. Weren't you at Bournemouth when we had like two players sent off as well?
Yeah, and then there was also the game against Newcastle, where I took my missus to the football, and
again.
She cannot see us win. The only time she nearly saw us win was when I took her to Spurs West Ham at the old White Hart Lane, and we 2-1 down, and Kane scored two goals in injury time, and I took her out on 88 minutes because I was a little bit worried. It was our first ever game going to football, worried about what might happen afterwards. We left, and Kane scored two in injury time. And she's never forgiven me. And she's got well into the football right now. But yeah, she's a bad omen. But my question was, what did you make of the football? It was sort of, despite going 3-1 up, it was symptomatic of what we've been all season under Conte. Is that there was a sort of programmatic build up play it around the back, Dyer cannot pass the ball without holding it for 5 seconds. There's so much sort of so much predictability in our build up play. Play it long, put it to one of the centre backs or the wing backs. Play it into Son. He can't hold it up. We lose the ball. Play it into Kane. He's too far forward. He can't get back in time. Their midfielders have cleaned it up. Eventually, and we said this on the reaction pod, the Five Statements podcast, is that the only times we get success is when one of their players fuck it up rather than our industry that does it. I don't know what the question here is, but can you understand the frustration from fans, us, towards Conte when he keeps playing this style of football? And maybe it isn't the players. Maybe it isn't the fans being impatient. Maybe it isn't Daniel Levy, you know, not supporting the squad. Maybe he has to take some responsibility, buddy.
He does have to take responsibility, and he'll be fired because of that. I think we've just arrived at a point where the manager, the club, everything else is just, they've all fucked up a little bit, but and they've all fucked up enough for it to come crumbling down. I think they're all at fault here. Conte needed to be more flexible, but then you hire a manager who's like literally the most unflexible manager in the world, and you don't give him what he needs. He's always going to get upset. In January, we signed Dan Juma, for fuck's sake. He doesn't even want to play him. He doesn't even like him. So
What is that failing there then? Because like we bought a player who could have gone on to have a good 6 months, and I don't give a fuck about Dan Juma's career. I couldn't give a fuck if he never played football ever again. I don't care. I couldn't care less. But we're in a situation where we've signed him and Conte didn't want him and he's not going to play him. Same with Jed Spence. He's not going to play him. So is that a failing in the club, buddy? Is it a failing on Paratici's behalf or Levy's behalf that we've bought players that are not going to play? Or are they thinking well beyond Conte and thinking these are good players for the future?
I think when you fire a manager, you're admitting that everything's fucked up. The process of hiring the manager has gone wrong and backing him and everything else. I think Daniel Levy needs to sack himself next or step away next, because you can't keep... Conte said it himself, it's 20 years, man, under this leadership, that nothing tangible on the pitch has happened. We've had, maybe one proper go at the Premier League, one Champions League final, that's it in 20 years. And I think at some point Daniel Levy has to take responsibility for hiring a manager like Conte and then it failing, hiring Jose, firing Pochettino and the rest of it.
T, there wasn't a lot about what Conte said that was inaccurate, was it?
No, it wasn't inaccurate, but it's just the wrong person saying that, you know. He goes against Sheffield United, doesn't pick Harry Kane. We lose. We were 3-2 up on Saturday. Takes off Poro and Kulusevski and replaces him with defensive players. He seems to think that more defensive players means a defensive team. It doesn't work like that. It's like, well, they're a lot better on the front foot than we are having to soak up pressure because we've got more ones in defence. Now, whether or not it was a penalty is neither here nor there, but he has the same mentality that Mourinho has, that, oh, just put on more defensive players, that'll make us defensive, and football doesn't work that way. And he does have to take some responsibility. What he says is correct, and I hope that even if he is sacked, that people who have the power to change things take that on board and just have a rethink. Where I sort of changed my mind is that on Saturday I wanted Conte, and now I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe just keep him there, whether he likes it or not, make him sign a contract, a baseball bat to the hand, and his face, so you know, sign a fucking contract, you fucking cunt. You're going to stay here and suffer with us next 5 years, right? To suffer. So you know what, mate? We're backing you. You're going to take Longley and make him work. That's your job. Make him work. Even if Longley is 50 years old, make him work. Almost thinking, well, is it always the blue screen of death? You know, control or delete and start again, or just try and persevere with Conte. I feel I'm a nomad. I just don't know what the fuck to do at this point, you know?
This is Ricky's thing, isn't it? Is that if we're going down, then Conte needs to experience it as well. Like if he's burning the house down, he should be in bed with us, burning together and screaming in the flames of the match that he struck.
Yeah, windows boarded up, door locked.
Yeah.
He was quite nice about the fans. He was quite respectful to us. He didn't dig us out. He just dug out Levy and the players. And
he said we're impatient.
The problem is that each week is another narrative that he creates, that she's more and more mental than the one before. And every lie or every sort of narrative that he everything he said before makes what he says next more crazy. And there's no doubting. There's absolutely, we're under no illusion that he's a great coach and he has achieved great things, because he's achieved more than, 99% of managers that have gone into the business have ever achieved. And it doesn't matter if he goes into the club and they've got all the money. It doesn't matter. He's a good coach, a great coach. But this situation at Spurs has become untenable for him. And we're going to come on to what we think might happen if you believe the ITK, and we could receive some information about what might happen with Conte and Spurs in the next 2 or 3 months. We're going to go on to that shortly, but we've got a question here from Anthony Antel, and he says, if you take Conte at his word and that he was solely talking about the players, which individuals who he had picked himself on Saturday do you think he applied to? So this is him saying the play, some of the players at Tottenham are selfish. And when I heard that, I was like, who could he possibly be talking about? Buddy, in your what do you think he meant by that? Who of that starting 11 and the players that came on, who were playing for themselves?
I think Højbjerg plays for himself, but I'm gonna put him to one side because I always end up talking about him.
Yeah, but do you think Conte was talking about Højbjerg? How can he be?
He keeps playing him, so that's a fundamental problem I have with Conte. Why do you keep playing this fucking idiot?
But that's you're talking about you're digging down on Højbjerg. I'm asking you what Conte meant by selfish players, because I don't see any selfish players there.
Perhaps there's that kind of self-preservation. They're trying to save themselves without kind of putting themselves on the line for the club, or putting in the extra effort, putting in the tackles. I don't know. There's a lot of individuals there who aren't good, and there's a lot of individuals whose contract he extended, like fucking Dyer and the rest of them. Selfish, I don't know. Maybe there was a counter-attack where Kane had the ball and he could have passed to Son, but then I don't mind Kane keeping the ball because Son has been awful this season.
It felt more systematic than that. It felt like there was a problem, like a deep-rooted problem inside the club that we have selfish players. Look, I don't think there's any truth in this. I just think that he's being like crazy again. Like he can't handle defeat. Like he's a man baby. The geezer's I appreciate he's won league titles and he's won an FA Cup with Chelsea, won a league cup league title with Chelsea. I get it, but if he doesn't have everything in like going his own way, then he's a problem. And
he's a typical Juventus player. They want everything given to them, and he's also an extremely stubborn manager.
Is that where it comes from, do you think? That he's...
I think so.
Because he played for Juve for, what, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, about 15 years. He won the Champions League in 96 and was still there into the 2000s.
Buddy, why can't he see his own failings? Why can't he see the fact that we're playing a brand of football that is really, really difficult to enjoy?
Because that's his beliefs. Pep doesn't change up.
But he scores goals. Yeah, but they score goals.
Pep and Klopp evolve, though. May not change fundamentally, but they evolve over the years. Whether it being, I don't know, putting Philipp Lahm in centre midfield or putting Rico Lewis in centre midfield. He's always evolving and doing new things. It feels like Conte. I mean, it was said about Pochettino that why have a plan B if the plan A works? And I kind of get that, but I think that if Conte took a bit of an accountability, it might harm his brand, because at least in 2023, elite managers and elite footballers are brands ultimately. And if they say, you know, the brand of Antonio Conte, my football is shit and it doesn't work, and it's my fault for subbing on for our two best players in Porro and Kulusevski, then if he leaves his job, if he gets a sack, it's not going to say, well, look, you subbed off these two good players. What did you do that for? You admitted it. If he never admits it never happened, then because the press seem to be going out of their way to defend him almost. It's almost like people who work for things like The Athletic are being a bit more honest about it. But Darren Lewis is kind of saying, I like Darren Lewis, I still do, but he's almost saying, well, Conte is right, you've got to back him. I'm like, well,
hasn't he been back though?
Well, financially he has. I mean, in terms of the amounts of money in black and white, yes. But I think that there were... I think if he didn't get Richarlison and he got Bastoni and had to make do with what we had without Richarlison there, it would have been probably be equal to where we are now. But
I mean,
that's,
I think we probably would have been better. I think we would have been better off. Richarlison's output in the Premier League especially has been pretty poor.
This is hindsight though. Yeah. Conte has been better. I just think that the most important piece in the jigsaw puzzle didn't arrive. And but the flip of that is that we moved heaven and earth to get Porro in. We paid almost double what the guy's worth to get him in for Conte. I don't think anyone else was driving that apart from Conte. Obviously, Paratici and the scouts made it happen to broker the deal, but he cost 40 odd million. He's not worth that. He's amazing, but we could have just said, you know what, they're charging us 40 million, let's just move on. And he wouldn't have blamed the club for moving on, because it's a ridiculous amount of money for someone who's probably only worth 20 odd million, in my opinion.
Well, but yeah, well,
they made it happen for Conte.
He does look the part though, Poro, doesn't he?
Absolutely, but I'm just saying that the club moved heaven and earth to get a Conte target. So you can't turn around and say, well, the club aren't backing because we missed out on Bastoni. I think Bastoni had a bit of cold feet about leaving. I don't think it's more us shitting the bed there.
Before we sort of continue to delve into the misery that is supporting Tottenham currently, we should celebrate Poro's arrival because, you know, he had a difficult game against... Leicester, where we got annihilated. But other than that, really attacking, really eventful, and really full of vigour and trying to drive the team forward from that position is impressive. And I'm excited about Poro. Are you not, Anthony?
I think Poro right wing back would be great. I think Udogie next season. I think we've got two really nice fullbacks for next year. So that's a positive to take forward. Obviously, we're going to have to... They either have to adapt to a back four manager or we're going to hire another back three manager because we've got two really good wing-backs.
You called... what's his name? Udogie?
Udogie.
Is that what they're saying on the extra inch? Is that his name? He's not. It's Udogie.
All right. Udogie.
Yeah. That I'm telling you, and you can tell Windy and Nathan, that's how you pronounce it.
I'll tell them.
Yeah, you fucking tell them. But
Destiny at left wing back would be excellent. Yeah. I don't think he'll work as a left back, but as a left wing back he'll be great. Poro as a right wing back is great. So we need to make sure the next manager plays a back three.
Well, this is the thing. I want to comment on the next manager on what will happen going forward. We will do that. We have to do that. Just on Udogie. You, we don't often have an expert in Italian football on the podcast because you left us to go to the extra inch, but we won't talk about that. But how highly rated is he? Because every time I read reports, like loan reports about him, he looks mustard. Like they really think a lot of him.
He's great. He's a lovely, lovely player. Unfortunately, he's not in the Italy squad for the Italy-England game on Thursday. He's in the under-21 still.
All right.
Which is disappointing because it would have been nice to see him. But he's an excellent attacking wide player. He'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like 10 times the player that Sessegnon is in the opposition half. Perhaps he's not quite there defensively, but going forward, he's great. He's like Poro.
Is he better defensively than Perisic?
Yeah, I think you're better than Perisic. No. Unbelievable how badly he's fallen off a cliff.
The thing is, has he fallen off a cliff? Because he's got 9 assists and a goal from 36 games this season. That's a good return for a left wing back. But and I was saying to my missus, who I took sort of football at the weekend, and I was like, she was like asking about Perisic, and I was saying he's great if you get him in the final third, then he's really good. His delivery's great. He can damage teams. But the minute he has to do anything else other than attack or receive the ball in the final third, he's lost. And that isn't the reports we got from Inter Milan fans when we signed him. It's like, no, he's 34, but he runs like a 28-year-old. He might run like a 28-year-old, but he can't fucking defend at all. The Premier League is so much stronger than Serie A that he just cannot cope, I don't think. Is that a fair thing to say? He's not good? He hasn't appeared to be good enough as a team player. Like it's not like he isn't trying, but as a team player, what he's supposed to do as a left wing back is defend in part, and he hasn't been able to.
I think there's an issue there that at Inter he had Bastoni behind him, and then in midfield alongside him he had players like Barella, Brozovic, who could quickly win the ball back, and I think that is a situation. But talking about Spurs against Southampton, we had like 9 people behind the ball at one point and nobody was making a tackle. No one was winning the ball. I think there's a big problem with just how we set up defensively and individuals, which ultimately Conte should have fixed and should have sorted out.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, well, this is the system we've been playing.
It reminded me of Jamie Carragher's rant about Trent Alexander-Arnold last week, and that a Liverpool team dominating the ball, dominating teams, he's your guy. But when you're getting like 50% possession and he's got a play going backwards, he's not the same player. So Liverpool being, I don't know, the sixth or seventh best team in the country at the moment doesn't suit someone like him. And I feel that's similar for Perisic. I think Perisic is someone who, you put Perisic in the City side, or I don't know, don't want to say Arsenal, but another side is doing really well, he would be your guy. But when he's got to like play moving backwards and, you know, think about defensive, I don't think he's a guy for that. And I think the problem with Conte is that I think how he wants to play is having 51% possession, 52% possession, and I don't think our defence can really work that way. And I don't think Perisic, that sees him at his best. Conte's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. And he'll probably explain his reasons for why he makes us play the way we do. But I don't feel the way he plays football is suitable for the players he has. Our defence aren't good enough to soak up pressure. If we're 3-1 up or 3-2 up against Southampton, put another fucking attacking player on it. Just smash them up. It's not worth having... Saar and who's the other guy who came on? Forgot his name. Came on and like try and head balls away. That's not how, it's just not going to work.
Barty, can you explain to me why Southampton, who are bottom of the league, looked like a flair team against Tottenham?
We were so passive, Flav, man. They were so passive from everybody. And I think everyone's talking about fitness and the players have played too much. There's not been enough rotation, but this. It's just really passive from all the defenders. And whenever the ball broke loose, it was almost like they were running, Dyer's running back to protect the goal rather than going to win the ball. Our midfield's not putting any kind of challenge in. It's just really passive from everybody. And it's just really sad to see. I hate this whole kind of thing, passion merchants, and look how he's running around and tackling. But there does seem to be just a lack of desire at the moment.
If you had to rate out of 10 how vigorous you would give Eric Dyer a blowjob, what is that number?
It wouldn't be a good one. It would be a lot of teeth and a lot of anger.
Yeah, a lot of two. Don't probably open your mouth. So like, what? I can feel your teeth again. We'll fucking play better then.
Just punch him in the gooch over and over again.
He really upsets me. He really breaks my heart, Eric Dyer. And Conte gave him a contract, man. Maybe because he knew we wouldn't sign anybody else, but he really does break my heart. Eric Dyer, because do you remember back in the day, once upon a time, he was this great hope of ours, this next leader. Lost.
Barty, you've been a supporter of Conte throughout the season, like the most of us. Like we all have. We really have. And there's been a few that are, you know, that they see his they've maybe seen his failings before we have, but we've had history to go on. But how do you feel now? Like you're Italian, you love him, he's your, you know.
I don't love him. He's a piece of shit from Juventus who drugged their way to everything. And
that's not what you've been saying previously.
He's a fucking, he's done all the steroids. That was the reason why. That's why he lost all his hair. And I backed him because I truly believed in him. I thought he could do something with us, but he's been unable to do that. Through his own fault and through the club's fault. So he just needs to fuck off now. I've had enough. I'm tired. I backed him until the moment that I thought he needs to fuck off. Plus, I'm tired, Flav. I can't keep defending. I'm defending him like he's my fucking dad.
Yeah, but I don't know why you have to defend him. Like, just like read it as you see it.
Because I hope. I hope with all my heart that Spurs were going to do something.
I think you and me have been in the same boat for a long, long time. Same with Jose Mourinho. You're thinking, just give him a go. and give him a go until it becomes untenable, which is what it's become right now for Conte. It's become untenable. Is that the right word? Yeah. What's left?
We've gone from club legend to fucking wheeler dealers, fucking portfolio managers. Who else we had? Guy that won 2 fucking UEFA Cups with Sevilla. We've tried everything, and it's just not working. So what the fuck do we do now? That's why I'm all on board Levy fucking off, because
we're going to come on to why the role that Daniel Levy has played in this very shortly. But before that, I think most people who are listening to this right now will probably have already heard the rumor that Conte's gone, and Mason is going to be our manager for the rest of the season. What do you make of that, T?
Not happy. Hate Mason. Hate him with a passion. He's shit. However, as you've just said, the job is almost untenable for Conte, and I understand it. It's a safe pair of hands from the club's point of view, and I understand why they're hiring him, but I think he's massively incompetent.
On what basis?
Thankfully, Harry Winks isn't still here. Otherwise, he'd play every fucking game like he did last time. I've got PTSD from Ndombele coming on with 2 minutes left in the League Cup final. That's my lasting memory of Ryan Mason. But that
was like 6 days after he got a job. 6 days after he got a job, he had to play Pep Guardiola's Man City. That isn't a reflection on Ryan Mason. I'm not saying that Ryan Mason should manage Spurs.
The thing is, one day I'll do the other pod with you, right? But you meet people and there's green flags. There's things that make you warm to people, and there's things that are red flags that make you not warm to people. So early on in his tenure, he made a decision that I hated. And every game since, I thought, you're a cunt. Even though we win the game, you're still a cunt. And where this comes from is his constant picking of Harry Winks, even though he was fucking rubbish.
At the time,
obviously. I hated it. But
Harry Winks was
a replacing Conte makes sense. Sorry?
Harry Winks is a star at the time, so he's going to just carry on that sort of pattern. It's like, what can Ryan Mason do currently that Conte couldn't do? And that isn't a huge amount. Like, he might be able to make us play in a different way or offer some sort of attacking authority when we approach a game, but he's not going to change things.
I feel that what Mason can do is the intangibles, i.e. make the players relax a bit more, allow the players to figure things out on the pitch. That's what he can do. I feel that Conte has his mechanisms, and if you veer from that, he's going to call you selfish. Whereas Ryan Mason, this is how I want you to play, but if this doesn't work out, then I rely on Harry and the senior players to figure out amongst themselves on the pitch and try something out. So on the pitch, they can see it firsthand. And the most successful teams, I mean, City of De Bruyne, who can figure things out on the pitch and make things work. Maybe that's what Mason will bring, being positive about Mason.
Do you think that Mason can bring more to the game in terms of an attacking outlet than Conte's been able to create?
I think, like what T said, I think Mason might be able to create a space where the individuals kind of do what they want and just allow to kind of freestyle and see what happens. Perhaps Kane and Son find some kind of gel and that might work for them. But in terms of like a long term, no, I don't. It'll be like kind of like Stellini. Stellini came in and for 3-4 games was able to get a tune out of the team.
Yeah,
and then it kind of petered away. And I think now the same will be with Mason. The players will enjoy all of a sudden they're not having to do the kind of automations, the way to work the ball to Kane, which doesn't work anymore. So maybe there might be something short term there.
Was it about Conte coming back to the fold that made Stellini sort of take a step back and our performances, or like defensively or attackingly, whatever it might be, just fall off a cliff? Like, he's the poison here. That he's come back. We were great. We were fine before he came back. He came back from his gallbladder and his restoration that he had in Italy. He come back and just fucking threw a grenade in the middle of our training ground, going, "I'm back. Everything's shit. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave here and I'm going to collect my £15 million, whatever it might be, and you lot are going to have to pick up the pieces. And journalists are fucking swarming around the rotting corpse that is Spurs. And this is a rotting corpse that is currently fourth in the league. Like the journalists are doing backflips right now, aren't they?
Bro, it's great. It's great for content, man. The amount of stuff. Saturday night, Twitter was really good. And normally, I stay away from Twitter and everything else after we lose, but it was fucking brilliant. And that's not a good thing, but it was entertaining. And Conte's just given a load of stuff for people to work.
Yeah, Alistair Gould is just nursing his erection.
All of them. They're all lined up together. All got semis.
Yeah, mate, it's hard. It's like me at 4 a.m. on a Saturday night 10 years ago, where I'm watching all kinds of horrible porn. I'm just nursing this very small average erection, but I am nursing it. And that's what Conte gave them. They were like, "Oh my god, this is my job for the next 2 weeks. We're gold." And that's my problem with Conte, is that he doesn't give a fuck about us. He doesn't give a fuck about Tottenham Hotspur. He never did. He really, really never did. He didn't give a fuck about Chelsea. Maybe he gave a fuck about Juventus because he played there for so long. He didn't give a fuck about Inter Milan. He just needs everything in order to build the foundation around his legacy. And I just don't want to be a fucking cuck to that. Like, he's disrespected the club. He's disrespected us as fans. He's disrespected the owners, whether you agree with them or not, and we're going to come onto that shortly. But he can't accept. He's just a bloke, and he can't mug us off that way. He can't. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that the way he's conducted himself over the last couple of weeks. And if Mace...
His conduct hasn't been good. You're right. His conduct hasn't been good. He did say some nice things about us, that we deserve better. We pay a lot, and we...
Yeah, and the I don't believe just, it. I don't believe what he said. Do you? Do you think he actually gives a shit about the fans at all?
No. He didn't say. He said that we deserve better. Does he give a shit about us? Of course not. He doesn't give a fuck. But sometimes I wonder, does the club actually give a shit about us either?
Well, I'm about to ask you a question about Dan Levy, but if he thought that we deserve better, then he'd play better football. He would adapt and find a way of us playing better football. What role does Daniel Levy play in all this?
Well, it's just another project of his that hasn't worked. And he has backed Conte to a degree, but I think just the history of the last 15 years without a trophy is just beginning to weigh on him a lot. We're making all of these business moves with... you know, Beyonce concerts, Guns N' Roses concerts, and go-karting at the stadium. As a business, we're doing amazingly, but he doesn't feel like he's been held to account enough for the lack of success in football. Now, Barney's gone on plenty of rants, rightly, about Levy is not on the pitch in the semi-finals that we've lost against United and Chelsea, and he didn't put that left wing back. Levy's not done that. That's the managers and you know, whoever's at the helm doing that. So, but I feel that Levy has this kind of, I think he's partly responsible for the mentality at the club that Conte alluded to. And that's why I kind of feel in a warped way that backing Conte might just show, you know what, right? He might not play good football. He might hate you guys, but we're keeping him here to kind of straighten people out. You know, we've got to trudge through a lot of shit before we become that club again. I mean, a shot on the arm would be someone like Pochettino, who's, you know, Catalan we all love, or the bloke from Celtic whose name I can't pronounce, or De Zerbi or Amorim. These are guys about playing good football and get the love back, but maybe the alternative is just keeping Conte there, keeping him on a tight lead. Maybe just say, you know, we've got to make some... If you say to him, look, the football you're playing isn't working, you have to make some concessions, and then we'll keep in another contract, and then we'll just back you. If you want to get rid of... shit players, tell us who they are, bin them, buy the contract, like, where the fuck, you know, that's kind of where I am with it.
I agree with T. I do agree that it's not been Levy on the pitch making the decisions or the performances that fucked us up, but I just think the lack of identity we have as a club is the issue. We've just flopped from one. It's almost like he goes one way and then that doesn't work. And then he flips the next way and then that doesn't work. And there's no real clear structure to it. Are we a club that hires Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte? That's what he wants us to be. But then he doesn't perform that way either. He doesn't go out and buy the Matic's and fucking Bastoni's, Guardiola's, these kind of players that these managers require. But then he doesn't go out and buy a project manager. So Spence, for example, is a perfect example of a project player that should have been handed over to a project manager, not someone who wanted the finished article. The man Conte wants a Porro, he doesn't want a Spence. And I think that's where Levy's been found out, that he doesn't have a clear idea of what he's doing and who he's hiring and who's working for him.
What do you think of the Enoch Out movement, buddy?
I think they need to join together. I think they need some clear goal.
Do they have merit?
There's some truth in what they say, that the club has underperformed and we haven't taken the fans' interest into Heart Super League, go-kart and the rest of it. Just the kind of fucking comms behind everything, it doesn't sit well whenever they release things. As a club, we're a fucking conglomerate, and that's how we operate. But I just do think, on the terms of the football decisions, which is what I'm judging Levy on, that there just doesn't seem to be any consistency there.
Do you think that that maybe we should look to sort of an American consortium or Qatari takeover bid? Is that something you didn't entertain?
It's not something I would want, but I would just be happy with somebody else taking control of the football.
This is the thing, though, is it somebody else. It's the choice of the two, isn't it? It's Saudis, it's Qatari, or it's America. And
no, I just Levy step down and promote a new chief exec. Somebody else. For a chief executive to be in place 20 years is a long time, man.
We need someone to come in who can spend the money or can give us an advantage by, taking digging down into that £400 million that we could possibly spend to put us on an even keel with the other teams in the Premier League. What are we doing?
Maybe.
What are we doing if we're not entertaining that? Because
I think we just need someone to spend our money better, Flav. I just think we've wasted so much money on Ndombele, Lo Celso, perhaps even Richarlison. I just think we've just wasted money on incorrect players.
Okay.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
T, anything to add on that?
Not a great deal more. I think Paratici is moving in the right direction to not necessarily defend Levy, but he's got a direct to a football which we're all crying out for. It keeps Levy out of the football all the more. I'd say Paratici is probably net positive in terms of his signings, obviously bolstered by Bentancur and Kulusevski. And so from that point of view, things are changing in the right direction. And it's hard not to look at Newcastle. I think we all know that Eddie Howe is not going to be there in the next couple of years. But at the moment, he's the right guy. He's got the tools at his disposal. He's making the best use out of them. It doesn't feel like Conte is necessarily doing that. Conte is just arriving at a club and making someone like Victor Moses a god at right wing back. And we thought maybe Kermit Emerson were all that or Spence that, but we've not seen any of that. So it's a complicated one, but I think, as Bardi said, I think 20 years in the job as a chief exec is a bit long. I mean, it should let someone else do it, but ultimately we will need a problematic takeover to get to where we want to be.
He's not going to just step back, is he? He's engineered like a seismic change in what Tottenham Hotspur as a brand has become. Like when he took over in 2006, they made their first play in 2001. They become a controlling interest in 2006, and since then he's built a fucking racetrack. We've got fucking Beyonce concerts we've got NFL, you know, partnerships. He's not going to step back because that's what he wants to build. He wants to build a something other than football. His focus isn't on the pitch. It may be like he's doing enough to suggest that that he is interested, but he's also interested in a lot of other things. And I get it. You know, he's got a lot on his plate, and he's building something that as football fans we're not interested in, but he is as a businessman. That's fine. But he needs to start focusing on what's going on the pitch. And that isn't just Basuma, Perisic, Longley. It's signing players that are going to improve us significantly. And
it feels a bit like sort of another American sports office, but the New York Knicks, they're one of the richest franchises in the NBA. The last time they won a title in the NBA was 1973. And the last time I think they reached the NBA Finals, probably in 1973 again. So, but they continue to make shitloads of money because they're playing an iconic arena. And just the branding, I mean, obviously hip-hop was born in New York and people wear their shirts and stuff. And I feel that, you know, Flav is right, that why would Levy step down when he made Tottenham Hotspur as a brand fucking gargantuan, more than when Enoch joined. But all three of us are Spurs fans. Two of us have a season ticket, and we'd rather see us be comfortably top four challenge for the title than, you know, have the NFL and elite concerts at our arena. And Levy has to find that balance because, you know, I mean, if we don't finish in the top four and the next manager doesn't work, it can get ugly for him.
Just quickly, between the two of you, if Levy was able to sell the club tomorrow to an American consortium or a Qatari, you know, state-led approach to the club, what would you choose, buddy?
Who would I choose over Qataris and the Americans?
Would you want to keep Daniel Levy?
I've said it before, I don't see Enoch leaving, and I think we need to swap out. I think we need to swap out Levy.
We're not going to swap him out. He owns 30% of Enoch. He's not going anywhere.
He might get run over, or there could be a fire or something.
Okay. All right, let's fingers crossed, let Daniel Levy gets run over. Felonious, what do you think?
America! Fuck yeah!
Books! Fuck yeah! Say the motherfucking day, yeah. I'm going Saudis. I'm gonna go dark. I'm going Saudis. Fuck women's rights.
Own it, man.
Give me all the players. Own that. I don't mean that. I'm just joking. All of them. I'm just joking. Okay, that's been the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you much, Bardi and Felonious.
You're welcome.
Yeah. This has been the Fighting Cock podcast, and thanks for listening. And it's all going to get better. Ryan Mason is going to lead us to Champions League qualification, and we can celebrate. You know, there'll be one day about 30 years, if I live that long and I've got grandchildren, and they're looking at me and went, Papa or Grandpapa Flav, can you tell me about the days of Ryan Mason's tenure at Tottenham Hotspur? And I'm going, yeah, he fucked shit up. He won 12 games in a row. He was given the job permanently after being kicked in the skull at a hole. And
he could be our Pep, you never know.
He could be, because Pep Guardiola played for Barcelona. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Mason may have been a couple of rungs lower than Pep Guardiola, but maybe he is the guy. When he got kicked in the head,
he's been there with Conte. He's been there with Jose. He's maybe learnt some things.
Maybe he's a snake. Maybe he shouldn't have been there. Maybe he should have left with Jose Mourinho. But who knows? Oh, I'll tell that story to my grandchild. I'll tell you what.
Ryan the snake. Ryan the temp.
Ryan Mason was average. And then now go and colour your books.
He wasn't good. He wasn't a good footballer.
He was all right. Do you not remember when he scored that goal against Nottingham Forest?
That was an 1882 game. Yeah, I remember that. It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. It's mad that he's engineered a situation where he's he's the assistant manager under Jose Mourinho, one of the best coaches that's ever been. Antonio Conte arguably could be in that conversation. And Ryan Mason is just sitting there just going, I'm just waiting for my time.
Had he not got kicked in the head, he wouldn't be where he is now. He'd be playing, I don't know, Billericay Town or something. So,
no, you're right.
I wonder, you need to get Mason on and ask him the question. Like, would you take that kick in the head again, major manager of Tottenham Hotspur?
Life is a never-ending conundrum. And he finds himself as manager of Tottenham once again, probably. And we must support him. Just get to the end. What happened?
Greatest graphic. Do you remember the graphic from the League Cup final where they put Pep Guardiola's graphic next to him, like 16 titles, 400 competitive games, and then next to Ryan Mason, it was just like one competitive game.
just quickly before we end, what if? And we believe it will be Ryan Mason to the end of this, end of the season. What would you expect? Do we qualify for the Champions League in this moment? Bearing in mind the fact that in his league form, when he took over from Spurs, took over from Jose Mourinho, he was 4-2. So he won 4 games, lost 2. That's 12 points from 18. That's not bad. Well, could you see him guiding us to Champions League football next season?
Possibly, but he had a fully fit Gareth Bale at his disposal. He took over from Mourinho, and Gareth Bale, I mean, the Leicester game, for example, took the game over and won it by himself. He hasn't got that now, but for the sake of the podcast, I think as much as I hate him, I think he probably can seal fourth.
Okay, what about you, buddy?
Yeah, I think fourth is on, definitely. Still on.
Okay, good. Well, if he can finish fourth, then what the fuck? Why do we have to deal with content?
Alex could do it.
Nah, Alex couldn't do it. Alex's self-belief is unreal. It's someone needs to have a word with him. All right, just peg him back a couple.
There's going to be a Netflix documentary about him in 100 years. It's all excerpts from the podcast, stuff that he said.
It is indeed.
It's like a fake Brazilian footballer.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, Flav.
Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.